You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. Since I'm the all-powerful announcer guy and have the power to do this, I'd like to share my thought of the day as we get into today's show. I got nothing. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Thursday with the fellas. Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here with you today.
Hey.
And those thoughts of the day have been a little underwhelming, haven't they?
That's what's on his mind.
Yeah, man. Man full of ideas, but put a microphone in his mouth, can't get it out. But anyways, we're taking phone calls at 952-946-6205. And we'll be with you until 5 o'clock. But today began March Madness basketball tournament. And I don't even need to ask. I already know, Eric, you didn't fill out a bracket, correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, I already know who's going to win.
Who's going to win?
I don't know. I don't know anyone playing even.
Name a college basketball team.
Duke.
That's a good guess.
North Carolina.
Yeah, that's why I was going to put you on the spot to just name a team, and that's who you're picking. But Duke and North Carolina, I don't know how good they are this year, but they are always good. So not a bad pick. But, you know, my dad one year, he won his bracket pool. And my dad knows nothing about college basketball. But you know how he made his picks?
Names? Logos?
Good guess. But he just copied Barack Obama's bracket. And he won his old tournament. He won like $1,000 by doing that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he just goes, I don't know, Barack Obama seems like he's smart and knows basketball. And
he just got a team of analysts on his side.
He copied the bracket, and he won. And I thought that was hilarious that he thought of that as a good idea and that it worked out. That's a very Mike Haas move right there. But I didn't fill out a bracket. I like gambling, but I didn't fill out a bracket this year. But I'm excited for the Final Four because it's here in the Twin Cities, and that means a lot of work for IOTC Local 13, the union that me and Eric are a part of. We're in the Stagehandlers Union of the Twin Cities, and that Final Four coming to town means some lucrative gigs for us. So coming next week, we'll be hauling in a bunch of gear and setting up basketball hoops and such. So can't wait for that. Good union pay. But later in the show, we'll be speaking with John Heppen of the Twin Cities Democratic Socialists of America. He's the leader of the Left Social Democrats Caucus. They have their monthly meeting next Thursday, but John will be out of town, so he's joining us a week early. And we'll also talk about an event we have with David Schultz. He's a regular on AM 950, but he's having a talk called Bernie Sanders and the Future of Democratic Socialism in American Politics on Tuesday, April 16th at 7 p.m. at Hamline University. And I will be joining David Schultz and giving a small talk myself. So I'll be talking about the rise of left-wing media going on in this country. And we'll talk to John later in the show for more about that and more going on with the left social democrats and social democracy and all sorts of good stuff. But the first thing I want to get to is a very important issue to me, probably the most important issue to me. I was at the state capitol on Monday for the floor vote of the opioid stewardship bill, and I'm happy to report that it passed. But let me read the report first. The Minnesota House voted Monday night to hold drug manufacturers responsible for the state's growing costs for dealing with the opioid crisis. The bill passed 94-34 after 4 hours of debates. It was more like 5 hours that split mostly along party lines. It would support a wide range of prevention, education, intervention, treatment, and recovery strategies. The state would pay for them by sharply raising its currently low annual registration fees for pharmaceutical manufacturers and drug wholesalers that sell or distribute opioids in Minnesota. The fee would bring in $20 million a year and would go into a new opioid stewardship fund. A new advisory council would then make recommendations to state officials on how to spend it. Any settlements that the state reaches for opioid lawsuits against drug companies would also be deposited into the fund. An opioid bill with some differences is working its way through the GOP-controlled Senate and has another hearing scheduled for Tuesday. That was this Tuesday, but there's also going to be committee hearings next Monday and Tuesday. The two versions are expected to go to a conference committee for resolution. According to the sponsors, opioid-related overdose lead to more than 2,000 visits to Minnesota emergency rooms in 2017, while opioid-related overdose deaths in Minnesota have increased steadily since 2010 to 395 in 2016 and I believe it's 417 in 2017, and we don't have the numbers for 2018 yet. But the lead author of the bill, Representative Liz Olson, told her colleagues that taxpayers have been among the hardest hit by the opioid crisis. This cost of responding to the crisis is huge, and it's hard to even calculate, the Duluth Democrat said. As just one example, she said, county social services agencies are drowning in the cost for placing children from affected families into other homes. But Olson said one sector has benefited from opiates while failing to step forward to combat the epidemic, the pharmaceutical industry. With profits in the hundreds of millions, these groups still have not come to the table, she said. Representative Dave Baker of Willmar, whose son, Dan Baker, became addicted to opioid painkillers and died of a heroin overdose in 2011, was among the Republicans supporting the bill. He said it would put Minnesota on the cutting edge of fighting the opioid crisis. Baker was the chief author of the bill with a different funding mechanism dubbed Penny a Pill, which passed the Senate last year but failed to get a House floor vote amid industry opposition. But since then, Democrats have taken control of the House. And Republican House Minority Leader Kirk Dowd, who was Speaker last session and prevented this bill from getting hearings or seeing the floor last year, led the opposition, saying imposing higher costs on the industry runs counter to the goal of reducing healthcare costs for consumers. This will literally increase the cost of healthcare for every Minnesotan, he said. How noble of you, Kurt. But
I have no idea what he sounds like, but I imagine that's close.
He actually, to be honest, has kind of a masculine good voice, but oh man, did that guy piss me off on Monday. So the floor vote, it took 5 hours on Monday. And what held this up was there were 10 amendments that were brought forward almost exclusively by Zerwas and Kurt Dowd. And all of the amendments that they were trying to make would be to completely undermine the bill and change the funding mechanisms and basically in some form or fashion make this so it was either a temporary bill or to change the funding to take general fund money rather than any sort of accountability on the pharmaceutical industry. And Kirk Dowd's grandstanding on why we should use the general fund rather than impose a fee for being able to use opioids in the state of Minnesota was that the way the bill is written now, no one will receive help within the first year because it'll take a year to collect the money through the new fees and taxes and the mechanisms they have to fund this plan. So no one will be able to benefit from this specific bill for 1 year, so that we should change the bill so that it's taken from the general fund because we have a surplus now. And on the surface, that doesn't sound like a terrible plan. I mean, that sounds kind of reasonable. But if you did it this way, the pharmaceutical companies, who it's all but determined created this current crisis, would be let off scot-free. And the argument against that is that the legislator is not in the business of punishing companies, I guess. But what it would do was the bill would be completely hinged on whether there was a surplus in the state at the current time. So 2-3 years down the road, if we're facing a budget deficit, this bill would no longer exist. And for Kurt Dowd to get up and pretend like he is the champion of this issue because he wants it in effect now is complete misrepresentation, and it could completely a smack in the face to all of us who are actually working hard on getting this thing done and having it set up right. I mean, this is the fourth year we have tried to pass this bill. And the reason it didn't go through last year is we got it through the GOP Senate last year, pretty overwhelmingly, actually, too. It was there was only about 3-4 no votes on it in the Senate, GOP-controlled, last session. But Kurt Dowd wouldn't even bring it to the floor. So for him to act like he's the actual champion of this and get up there, and he really got on a soapbox to talk about how important this is and why we should change it to the general fund money so we can help people now. And the simple solution to this is, okay, Kurt, if that's what's important to you, there's a simple amendment we can make. But he would never go for this. Is we use $20 million of the general fund to enact this right now. And every year afterwards, the bill is as written. So if that was your actual care, that it would take a year for this to get started, make that amendment. We could take the general fund money now and fund this with $20 million and have it start as soon as it's signed by Governor Tim Walz. But that's not at all what he wants. Him and Zerwas are clearly in the pocket of the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, it was just, it was blatant listening to the House floor debates and the arguments that these two had. And they got up every single chance they got. This is why it took 5 hours, is because Kurt Dowd and Zerwas, they wouldn't shut up about this. And the funny thing, too, is we talked a little bit about this on Tuesday and posted it on the AM950 Facebook page, that there's a picture of Kurt Dowd reading the newspaper while this bill was going on. But I want to put a little more context on what happened and how when we snapped that picture, what went on. It was immediately after he got up and did his big grandstanding of how this isn't going to help anyone for a year, so we should change the funding mechanism to the general fund. And immediately after he got off the microphone, for some reason, he left his desk and sat into someone else's desk on the floor. I'm not sure whose it was. It was an empty Republican desk. And he pulled out a newspaper as about 4 or 5 members of the DFL caucus stood up and refuted everything that he had to say. He opened the newspaper and just sat there listening. Not listening. But the bill passed overwhelmingly and remained intact of what we got out of the conference committees. So the bill as written and as it's being presented to the Senate now in their conference committees is solid. Now, it's going to be tough dealing with the Republicans in the Senate, even though it passed so overwhelmingly last year. It's a new fight, new battle, and a lot of the Senate Republicans last year realized that it wasn't going to get a hearing on the House because of Kurt Dowd as the Speaker of the House last year. So they might not be as quick to sign on to this one. And that as I've seen from the committee hearings that I've attended, the pharmaceutical lobby is alive and strong at the Capitol right now and talking to those Republicans. But a small win that I had on Monday is my representative, Greg Bowe, who I actually campaigned very hard against for his opponent, Donzel Leggett. I was speaking with him from the House gallery about the bill and if I could count on his support, because he told me in the town hall that he would support this bill, that he spoke with Representative Baker, the Republican author of the bill, and that he was for it. But then, about a week before the floor hearing, I saw his name on a list of congresspeople that were trying to block this bill. So I got really concerned, and I spent a lot of the 5 hours messaging back and forth with him. And I'm happy to say that he did, in fact, vote for this bill. And afterwards, when we were applauding from the gallery, he turned around and gave me a thumbs up. So I made a difference to my representative at that moment, and I'm proud of him, and I'm going to give him the credit he deserves on making the right vote for this, because I would not have been happy if he would have came back on his word that he gave me at our town hall. But moving forward with this and going into the Senate, besides Julie Rosen, the chief author of the Senate, she's known as Senator Meth, actually, because of the work she did with meth labs in southern Minnesota. She's the chief author of this. But besides her, the next most important senator is going to be Scott Jensen, who Matt McNeil just talked about in the last hour, and how much the Republican caucus is in the hands of the pharmaceutical lobby right now. So as a doctor, he is someone that caucus listens to when they need to make a moral decision on these issues. And I will be meeting with Scott Jensen next Wednesday and hopefully get assured that I have his support on this bill, because he is going to be a very, very important voice in this fight. But let's take a break, and we'll be right back here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We're taking phone calls at 952-946-6205. So we'll see you on the other side of the break on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
This is Gary of Minneapolis on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. I got a question for you Trumpsters, or Trumpeteers, whatever you want to call yourselves. As the billionaires have grabbed everything in the country, and because of so much suffering and poverty, why do you put them in power, a billionaire and a bunch of his cronies? You must be a bunch of masochists.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself, because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for 25 years. You'll not find someone who loves their job more than me. The process of painting your home could not be easier. Go to nickslavik.com, click on the button Paint My Walls or Paint My Cabinets. I'll personally be in contact with you to get an estimate, either in-home or a free virtual estimate. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. We're not like other contractors.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist point of view. Visit our website at MinnesotaAtheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil, and you're listening to Doug, Brian, and Harold. Love those guys. I love those guys. It's the Minnesota Progressive Rep right here on AM 950.
Yes, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, not crossing the picket line since 2019. And on that note, there's a union and job resource fair taking place Thursday, April 4th at the IBEW, there we go, Local 110. That's at 1330 Conway Street, Suite 110 in St. Paul. This is the fourth annual Union Job and Resource Center event. The event is a job fair with employer panels starting at 3 p.m. and on-site hiring that follows the event from 4 to 7 p.m. But great way to get connected with unions in the area. Can really change your life if you're in a rut. I've experienced it firsthand myself. Before I even really comprehended how much labor unions do for workers, I signed up not really knowing what it was. It took a while for me to really understand, but as soon as I started looking at those pay stubs and how much I was getting paid and how overtime worked and how good my working conditions were, I became head over heels for the labor movement. And Eric just joined recently the IATSE Local 13, like I mentioned, which will be doing all the labor for the March Madness tournament here in Minnesota.
Yeah, might even play a game or two.
Woo! All right, but as you heard in the news right before the show started, I mean, a lot of stuff's going on in Israel, and we talked about Ilhan Omar a lot for the past month, it seems. But how about a story that hasn't gotten any mainstream media attention? British Holocaust denier David Irving is planning to lead a tour of Nazi death camps. Now, Eric, are you familiar with who David Irving is?
I think I've heard of him a couple times. Just like a white supremacist Holocaust denier.
So what he is a historian who has made his life mission to defend the Nazis and deny the Holocaust. And he was actually a legitimate historian at one time, and he's been discredited. There's been a movie made about him. In fact, it's called Denial. The man is terrible. And he doesn't consider himself a white supremacist, but he gives lectures for all sorts of anti-Semitic groups and Holocaust denial groups, and basically just the worst types of people on earth are followers of David Irving. But Irving is taking deposits on his website for the tour of Nazi historical sites scheduled for September. The 9-day tour cost $3,600 and is scheduled to visit all of the concentration camps in Germany to disprove their existence. He will not be stopping at Auschwitz because the man is banned from Auschwitz, but he'll also be visiting the bunker headquarters of Adolf Hitler, known as the Wolf Slayer, and the headquarters of SF Chief Heinrich Himmler. Now, Irving describes in his promotional material as a Hitler expert. He has written several books about Hitler. Irving lost a libel suit he brought against Holocaust historian Deborah Lipstadt in 2000. The suit was dramatized in the movie Denial. Yes, I had the title right. He initially claimed that Hitler was not aware of the program to exterminate the Jews and retained his credibility as a historian. Later, Irving transitioned to outright Holocaust denial, including claiming that there was no evidence to prove the existence of gas chambers at Auschwitz. But the only reason I bring this up is because with all the talks of anti-Semitism and what's been going on lately, and Ilhan Omar's comments, there's no focus on one of the most anti-Semitic men and a tour he's planning to rile up his troops of Holocaust deniers and actual anti-Semites. So the blame in this has been all put in the wrong places, because I'm sensitive to anti-Semitism. But when we spend a month labeling Ilhan Omar as anti-Semitic, are we really going after the right people? Ilhan Omar just wrote an op-ed this week, and an excerpt from it is, this is written by Ilhan herself. The founding of Israel 70 years ago was built on the Jewish people's connection to their historical homeland, as well as the urgency of establishing a nation in the wake of the horror of the Holocaust and the centuries of anti-Semitic oppression leading up to it. Many of the founders of Israel were themselves refugees who survived indescribable horrors. We must acknowledge that this is also the historical homeland of Palestinians, and without a state, the Palestinian people live in a state of permanent refugeehood and displacement. This, too, is a refugee crisis, and they, too, deserve freedom and dignity. Now, does that sound very anti-Semitic to you, Eric?
I don't know how you could interpret that as anti-Semitic. I know people will, though.
But we spent the past month covering Ilhan Omar as overtly anti-Semitic. And no mention or attempts to block David Irving from touring concentration camps. I mean, this battle of anti-Semitism has been misplaced and a hysteria around the wrong person.
That's surprising, because I know Germany has some pretty strict laws surrounding the Holocaust and how you're allowed to speak about it.
Mm-hmm. And that's David Irving's gotten in a lot of trouble in the past for that. But he's finding a way. All I hope is that people do everything in their personal power to block David Irving from doing his tour. But I just wanted to draw that parallel of what's going on in the news. No attention to one story, so much to another. But when we return, we're going to be speaking with John Heppen of the Twin Cities DSA, leader of the Last Social Democrats Caucus. We'll be right back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, and you are listening to the 4 o'clock repartee, which kind of like means conversation between people or something. Repartee.
This is your daily legislative update with Representative Raymond Dean. Each day we'll check in with Representative Dean for a brief update on some of the big issues going on at the Minnesota Legislature. We're speaking with Representative Raymond Dean. And Ray, I wanted to ask you, you've been the chief author of the Restore the Vote bill, and that's been gaining a lot of attention lately in the media. Why don't you explain the bill and some of the good things that it will do?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. The Restore the Vote is House File 40. And what it does is it creates a bright line between who can vote and who can't vote when they've been convicted of a felony offense. Currently, our statutes are such that once you're off probation or you're off supervision, which is traditionally most states would call parole, you regain your right to vote. But the current status is the current status is you get that back only after you've completed all of your sentence, being probation or parole. And House File 40 would actually make it so that once you're out in public, you're raising a family, you're working, you're doing all those things that we ask people to do when they're making amends for a bad decision they made later in life, you'd be allowed to vote. And you know, it's important for those individuals, but it also helps our elections process run a lot easier because there's not the question of where are you, can you vote, can you not vote? You know, there's often been questions about, you know, what if you're in a alternatives to sentencing, you still have the crime. It would clearly create that bright line for elected officials that if people are out of being prison, out of or on probation, that they'd actually be allowed to vote. So that sort of inhibits one of those barriers. And it's really, really important for people. I applied for a pardon myself so that I could have my right to vote restored.
We've been speaking with Representative Raymond Dean for our daily legislative update on AM 950. Tune in weekdays at 4 p.m. where we will be speaking with Raymond Dean all week.
The Electric Fetus wants your used music. The used music buying bonanza is going on now at the Electric Fetus. Sell your vinyl, CDs, and DVDs from now through April 7th and receive an extra 50% based on the quote if you choose store credit. That's 50% more to use on more music or gifts. So bring your LP, CDs, and DVDs to the Electric Fetus. They're located at 2000 4th Avenue South and open 9 to 9 weekdays, 9 to 8 on Saturdays, and 11 to 6 on Sundays. And please note the store is closed April 1st for inventory.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, the philosophy of sleep.
The ancient Chinese philosopher Chuang Tzu wondered if he was a man dreaming he was a butterfly, or a butterfly dreaming he was a man.
Descartes said we can't distinguish dreams from reality.
And what about dreamless sleep? Do I even exist in a complete blackout?
Wake up for the philosophy of sleep next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Hi there. This is Alan Miller speaking, the local and studio curmudgeon. You're listening to, and wisely so, Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
All right, folks. Get your pens and paper ready right now. This is an event you're going to want to attend.
Get your moleskins out.
Mm-hmm. Take note. On Tuesday, April 16th, the Twin Cities Caucus of Left Social Democrats will be hosting Professor David Schultz for a talk titled Bernie Sanders and the Future of Democratic Socialism in American Politics. That's taking place, again, Tuesday, April 16th, 7 p.m. at Hamline University, the Anderson Center. That's 774 Snelling Avenue North in St. Paul, Minnesota, room 305. And joining Professor Schultz will be several of the caucus's own members, speaking briefly on various important aspects of our movement, including yours truly, Hunter Hawes, talking on the rise of left-wing media going on in the country right now, as well as Brad McGarr, the 2018 Shakopee City Council candidates on lessons learned running as a Democratic Socialist in a conservative suburb, and Mike Mitchell, member of the UK Labour Party, living in Minnesota, on the UK Labour Party and Brexit. This event is hosted by John Heppen, the General Secretary of the Caucus of Left Social Democrats, and joining us on the line right now is a friend of the show, John Heppen. John, it's good to have you.
Yeah, hey, good talking to you, Hunter. It was great seeing you on Sunday at the Twin Cities DSA chapter meeting. You know, Twin Cities DSA, we're up over 1,000 members now, and we're one of the largest DSA chapters in the country. And because we're so big, to facilitate our work, the Twin Cities DSA, we've got working groups and caucuses. And the Left Social Democrats, as you said, we're very proud to host Professor David Schultz on the 16th. For his discussion on Bernie Sanders and democratic socialism. And one thing I also want to mention is, in addition to David Schultz speaking and you talking, there will definitely be time for questions and answers, comments, debates. These forums are often at their best when audience members are able to share comments, questions. There'll be a lot of good give and take. So if you're interested in Bernie Sanders, interested in democratic socialism, social democracy, interested in how you can join us, I'd strongly, you know, recommend you come out and see us on the 16th.
Yeah, and what inspired y'all to put this event together and get David Schultz to speak at it?
Okay, about a couple years ago, when we were a lot smaller in the local Twin Cities DSA, we had Professor David Schultz give a talk in Minneapolis. This was right when Bernie was running during the primary campaign season, and he gave a little talk. Now, David is a former member of the Democratic Socialist Organizing Committee, which is one of the forerunners of the Democratic Socialists of America. So, it's a topic he's very much interested in. And, he's on the media a lot. He's on your show a lot. And, you know, he's published a lot of great books and articles. And he offers some real great insight into what we're seeing today.
Yeah, fantastic. And the topic of the discussion is Bernie Sanders and the future of democratic socialism in American politics. How do you think that Bernie Sanders represents that label of democratic socialism and your caucus of social democracy, and why does he align so well with your beliefs that the caucus and the Twin Cities DSA have endorsed Bernie Sanders?
Okay, let's see. First, the caucus has endorsed Bernie Sanders. The chapter, not yet. We're going to have meetings in the future where the whole chapter will have a vote. My guess is, I'm not sure yet, my guess is the chapter will vote. But we'll have a fair and open debate among all Twin Cities DSA members. One of the great things about DSA is you don't have to agree with everything and still, you know, be a member and be a comrade. But the thing about Bernie that we like is, you know, he comes in the tradition of what we would call social democracy, like the German Social Democratic Party, where what we like about Bernie is we realize there's a transition where we believe your average American is a good, hardworking person who, you know, wants a good job, an education, a better future for his kids. And we like Bernie's approach, even what we, you know, of gradual, peaceful change where we do things step by step, but we can still have great change in one time. Like, you know, Medicare for All. It would be a big revolutionary change, but it would still, you know, keep things in many ways the same. It'd be based on Medicare, which many of us are familiar with. But we also like how Bernie's not afraid to take on the exploitive capitalist class. You know, congratulations Monday on the opioid bill.
Yes.
Passing in the, you know, was it the House or the Senate?
It was the House.
The House. You know, one of the things, and you were talking about this earlier, we like about Bernie is he wants to keep the companies accountable, the billionaire class, for example. And as you were saying, one of the things we like about Bernie, he's not afraid to take on these pharmaceutical companies. right? And the real tragedy of the crisis is that these pharmaceutical companies didn't really care so much about the health, the safety of making people better. They really just cared about making money, their profits. And we've, you know, there's the talk about insulin, right? How they're jacking up the price of insulin and EpiPens. You know, that outrageousness. And so, you know, what we like about Bernie, as I was saying, he believes in gradual, peaceful change. But within this change, you can have great revolutionary change, but within our, you know, our American traditions.
Now, why do you think that many have moved towards the label of democratic socialist, but you don't often hear the label of, like, social democrat or social democracy? Why hasn't that picked up more steam?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think part of it is Bernie calls himself a democratic socialist.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's the democratic socialists of America. But I think, you know, in reality, if you look at his platform, it's a social democratic platform. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, some ways to differentiate himself. Some of the social democratic parties of Europe have kind of lost their way. Right. So I think by calling himself a democratic socialist, in some ways, we're given a wake up call. If you look at in tandem with Bernie, look at Jeremy Corbyn of the
absolutely.
UK Labour Party. Right. Where they you know, sadly, under Tony Blair, they kind of went into a neoliberal direction, as the Democratic Party did here. But I think part of it is, I think, education. I would encourage people to come to, on March 28th, the Left Social Democrats are meeting on Thursday, March 28th at 7 o'clock at Barnes & Noble in Harmar Shopping Center, where, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, these issues. What is social democracy? What is democratic socialism? Originally, you know, the original Social Democratic Party of Germany, and those parties were socialist parties. But they call themselves Social Democratic Party. Early on, there really was no difference between calling yourself a social democrat or a democratic socialist. Your goal was to move towards a more fair socialist economy where you have true democracy, where people get a real say in what decisions are made.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, looking at the 2020 field, you said that your caucus has endorsed Bernie, but are there any other candidates in the race that fit the social democracy model or have good policies that you think that you agree with?
Yeah, I think nationally there are many members of DSA who Elizabeth Warren. Her policies, you know, she wants to tackle the great inequality of wealth that we have in this country. She's promoted policies to put workers on company boards, which is a common practice in many European countries like Germany. We like Elizabeth Warren. Many of us are disappointed in Sherrod Brown not running. I think many of us felt he was probably the closest there was to many of the policies of Bernie Sanders. Some like Tulsi Gabbard, she endorsed Bernie in 2016. But, you know, Elizabeth Warren has a lot of following. You know, I mean, of course we want Bernie, but I think some of us think a backup plan might be Elizabeth Warren. We haven't bought into phony Beto mania. I want you to just let everyone... just want everyone to know that.
Do you guys have tables to stand on at the Social Democrat meeting?
What?
Oh, I'm just making a joke about Beto always standing on tables.
Oh, yeah. Well, if he wants, you know, we'll invite anyone to talk. He can talk and do his hand gyrations. But, you know, like the song by The Clash, we feel phony Beto mania what has bitten the dust.
Nice. He's a punk rocker, too, so appropriate.
Yeah, it's appropriate. He's flat out said he's a capitalist, and we prefer people who say they are democratic socialists or social democrats and truly talk about transforming the economy.
Well, that's interesting because the first name you mentioned was Elizabeth Warren, but she also called herself a capitalist, but more in regards to wanting to save capitalism from from itself. So this is being asked a lot. And I actually, why I brought that up, I thought Elizabeth Warren's answer was good because it was honest And she actually took a stand rather than a wishy-washy trying to please both ways and not really stand for anything. So I did like how she responded to that question, which all the candidates are being asked now.
Right. Oh, yeah, I agree. I admire Elizabeth Warren for saying this is what I believe in. Right. And I think this goes to the fact that people running for the Democratic nomination they're asked that shows you how positive change has been with Bernie's first run in 2016, how the Democratic Party has definitely shifted to the left. To where if you're running for the Democratic nomination for president, you are asked that question. You're expected to give an answer, to give an honest, heartfelt answer. And I think, Elizabeth Warren, she gave a good answer. Her policies, though, I mean, in some ways, many of us feel in the left social Democrats that the future of a social democratic or democratic socialist future in this country is about policies. We're not so much hung up on party. There are some socialists who are big on a vanguard party that's going to lead a revolution, right? And there are some who are big on a politician. What we really stand out is left social Democrats is we believe in policies.
Yeah.
Social Security, Medicare for all. We're not going to get so hung up on what a politician calls herself or himself. If they promote policies that are social democratic or democratic socialist, we'll support those policies. And if it means at times supporting the candidate, right, we will. So in some ways, there is no conflict if they're supporting good policies. And we think that's a good common sense approach that the vast majority of the American people believe in and will think is wise and right and the best way to make our transition to a more fair and equitable society.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Policy is priority over labels or personality. So I definitely agree with you wholeheartedly on that. But we only got about a minute left. Why don't you promote your upcoming meeting and, again, the talk with David Schultz?
Yeah, so Thursday, March 28th, 7 p.m. at the Barnes & Noble Harmar, the Left Social Democrats will meet. On the agenda, we'll be planning the event on April 16th with David Schultz. The talk will start at 7 o'clock. You'll be on the panel, which is awesome. You mentioned Brad McGar, who ran for office as a Democratic Socialist. And we're really looking forward to hearing Mike Mitchell talk, a member of the British Labor Party living in Minnesota. He'll offer his insights. But as I said, I think on the 16th, we're really looking forward to audience participation, give and take. That's what makes events that we're hosting on the 16th really fun and memorable. And I think we'll all learn and grow from it. So I'd invite people to visit leftsocialdemocrats.org and TwinCitiesDSA.org because the Twin Cities DSA, we've got over 1,000 members, we've got working groups, we've got caucuses, we've got branches. There are a lot of great things you can get involved in. So please visit our websites, leftsocialdemocrats.org and TwinCitiesDSA.org.
All right, fantastic. John, it's always a pleasure having you. I'll see you at that David Schultz talk, and we'll have you back on before, either on this show or Mission Accomplishers, me and Eric's new show, Saturdays at 7 p.m.
That would be real great. Good talking to you, Hunter.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
This is Jennifer Ogren, account executive at AM 950, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee?
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Save an extra 7.5% during Warner Stellion's free tax rebate event. Choose from the best brands at our guaranteed unbeatable price. Then save 7.5% more with our exclusive tax rebates. You'll save hundreds on lawn repairs, dishwashers, refrigerators, and kitchen suites. And trusted fast free delivery and haul away are still free. Plus, qualified buyers can choose 18 months interest-free financing. Guaranteed unbeatable appliance savings through March 25th with exclusive tax rebates from Warner Stellion.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
Hi there. This is Alan Miller speaking, the local and studio curmudgeon. You're listening to, and wisely so, Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here with you on a Thursday. Your chance to get a fix of the fellas. And if you're a fan of ours, tune into our new show, Saturdays at 7 p.m., Mission Accomplishers. It's a show where anti-Bush, anti-Trump, anti-war, we talk everything from politics to banter about beverages. So if you're a fan of the fellas.
It's mainly a banter about beverages.
There's a lot of banter about beverages, but it is quality content. Hot takes all around on Mission Accomplishers. But that takes place Saturdays at 7 p.m. Also, subscribe to the podcast. Just type in Mission Accomplishers to Apple Podcasts or any place you get your podcasts because we release bonus content through that. So definitely stay tuned to that. But let's see. We got just a minute left. Can we get Randy in St. Cloud quick? Just put him through. Randy, it's good to have you.
Hey, great.
Be really quick.
Like that. Like the last guy, really good. I just wanted to point out, you were talking about that the clown from England and the, you know, the Holocaust denial and all that. Hey, we had our own Steve King, a local politician just south of us, who just got done. He had a post up on his Twitter that said, if the upcoming second Civil War happens, the red states have a trillion bullets, and the blue states are still trying to figure out what bathroom to use.
This is the end of our program, or the Departee.
All right, we'll see you later. We're out of time.